All right, happy anniversary to Bill Leff and his lovely wife, Terry. Bill has taken the day off to...
You think they're
in the park?
No. I see them riding on like a one of those, what's it called?
A roller coaster?
No, like the two-person bicycle.
A rickshaw?
No, not a rickshaw.
A waterbed?
A tandem?
No, yeah, tandem, bicycle, sharing.
I love this. We're playing charades with Dane Neal.
Sharing an ice cream cone. I see them doing that.
Terry is a normal human being, okay? She is not going to put up with that.
Being excited about new Pez colors?
Not. Bill will be.
All right.
But happy anniversary to Bill Leff. He will return on Monday, and then I'll be gone for a week because I'm going to Nashville.
to launch your country music career.
No, I wish. Someday. You're never too old to do it. My son, Michael, will be attending a blues camp, so we're making this a family road trip. We did it for the first time last year, and it went out. Well, we'll discuss it because we'll talk about family road trips a little later.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, Kurt Wagner is here, and I was thinking of you while I was up till 3 in the morning, completely binge-watching Orange is the New Black.
From the beginning?
I went season 1, ep 1, and I love it.
Yeah? How far did you get?
6 episodes.
Okay.
So 6 hours I sat there, I guess. Sorry. sorry for all the no dinner for the kids, whatever. It is amazing. I love this whole binge-watching thing. I've never seen an episode of Mad Men. And it's weird that's actually featured in Orange is the New Black.
Mad Men?
Jason Biggs is wanting to watch Mad Men.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about online viewing. You really can enjoy something. Our producer, Kevin, just started watching The Sopranos. Never saw it before. Are you loving it, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm 2 episodes in and I'm enjoying it.
How many people have gotten killed so far? I mean, whacked so far?
A couple. In the opening episode alone.
Yeah.
I will say there are a lot of breasts in Orange is the New Black.
Wow. They're in a women's prison. What do you expect?
If I ever go to prison, I'm going to keep my shirt on. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Your jumpsuit.
That's true.
You have a shower swimsuit?
I don't know, man. I got to push that aside. And what I do like, though, is the character development where you're introduced to everyone in there. Crazy Eyes. I finally met Crazy Eyes. Yeah. And then you're starting to learn their background, which to me is just a way to really suck you into a show.
Right. I mean, that's the whole fascinating part, isn't it? That
how do people get to prison?
Right. They all come from very different,
situations
and backgrounds and all that kind of stuff.
Isn't it crazy kind of the settings that you can have for successful and really popular television series? And you have some kind of formula. You know, you've got space, right? You've got kind of the fantasy world with, you know, dragons and wizards. And you've got prison. And it seems to work.
Well, and this is heralded as, you know, this great opportunity for, you know, it's such a diverse cast. And it's, it's women. And it's a story about women. And that's not what something you find every day on television. Especially on network television.
And I don't know if it's just me, and please do not take this the wrong way that it's some kind of fantasy, okay? Because it's not. But I always wonder what goes on in prison. I'm never going to be there because I'm a law-abiding citizen. I really don't break the rules.
I thought you were going to say that this, you know what, it seems like a really great place to go
out. It doesn't. And, you know, we were talking about bullying before. I mean, when the I don't even know the main characters yet, Chapman, I guess, is the blue-collar girl who goes in there, or rich little girl, I should say.
Yeah.
And they tell her flat out, like, she did a lot of research before she went into prison, like how to survive. And it's like, you know, don't let them break you down. And it was funny because some prisoner said something to her, and she said, well, that's not what I read about for life in prison. And they're, oh, easy, Blondie, you studied for prison, but you got to do your research and be prepared.
Yeah, even if it's not true, accurate research.
I would do it, man. I research my research. I would be so prepared to go to prison, but I don't want to go.
Right. But if you had to, you'd be ready.
Well, you know, they say this new season that's currently airing, that's currently just came out last month.
What season are they on?
3 or 4.
Oh, God, I got a lot of watching.
They apparently, this is like the best season yet.
Really? Still a lot of bare breasts?
I imagine so.
Well, it works, I guess.
For you, maybe.
No, I mean, just, you know, in general, for entertainment.
We're talking TV with Kurt Wagner. Go to his website because it's awesome, tvshowpatrol.com. And what did you want to talk about today? I don't want to hog it with my Origins of the New Black craze.
Well, speaking of streaming services, you know, it's a new month, so there's all kinds of new stuff coming out. The second season of Marco Polo comes out today on Netflix.
And what is that?
It's a story about Marco Polo.
So kids swimming in a pool going,
No.
The eternal search for the other kid. Kind of.
But it's more, it's sort of more about Kublai Khan, the Mongolian warlord who took over China. It's sort of more of his story than Marco Polo's, sort of incidental in it almost. And that's much more the fascinating story, sort of the history of China and the dynasties and stuff like that. I interviewed Michelle Yao, who was the actress in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I'll post that interview today. I talked to her yesterday. She's in this new season, and it was kind of fascinating to talk to her about it and how she was so happy to be in this because she feels it does show a lot of Chinese history that you don't get to see.
It's nice seeing a history instead of reading about it in a book. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know it's based on the writer's
right, and it's vision. You know, there's creative license taken to the historical facts and everything, but you get in sort of an idea, and I always love those kind of shows because I even did that with this when I watched some screeners for the new season. I said, oh, I wonder, did he really do that? Well, Kublai Khan, you know, and so I looked it up, and you know, those sort of broader facts are usually true.
Kurt, when you talk to the people that are kind of forming some of these shows, and of course they want to make it entertaining, and sometimes whatever they know or whatever is at their disposal isn't maybe all that interesting. But I learned so much from Schoolhouse Rock, and thank goodness it was
all
accurate. But for when they do these kind of historical things, do they feel like when you talk to them, do they feel an obligation to be somewhat accurate, or is it just this is a story people know of, and if I can make something entertaining that's got a backstory people are familiar with, then I'm going to go with it?
Well, it depends on who you know, which show it is, which creator it is, and how much they want to follow the absolute facts of history. Because a lot of times, you're right, it would be boring.
But sometimes the truth is good enough.
Like, I think that show Turn, Washington Spies, I think the creator of that show tries very hard to get a lot of the facts correct. And it's a story about sort of America's first spy ring, which was during the Revolutionary War. And so you can find a lot of things in there that, you know, oh, George Washington really did do that, you know, or whoever. But then there are other shows, like the CW has a show about Mary Queen of Scots called Rain that, you know.
Not good?
The names are the only thing that's true.
really?
Are the only things that are accurate in that show.
Because you'd hate to be a history student on a test. You're like, I think I know this. You know.
Well, I mean, I don't
not
think.
Not an astronaut,
I honestly don't feel that you should ever count on getting your history lessons from any television show.
Or Wikipedia, because that is inaccurate.
Even, you know,
go to the Cliff Notes.
A lot of times the documentaries even, like when they do those documentaries where they have a little bit of acting in it, you know, which are fun. I love watching those. You know, sometimes you just have to double check the facts on this.
This is important, and it's a luxury to have you here for this information for our son Maxwell. He watches that show Unsealed Alien Files, and he swears by it.
Like, it's a great show.
Well, I mean, it's entertaining.
Truth is out there, Dane.
But is there? I don't know what you're going to say, but is there any truth to any of that?
You're asking him if there are UFOs.
Well, he's here.
I believe personally there is life on other planets.
We asked Buzz Aldrin that question, and he believes that too, and he's been up there.
Okay. Tomorrow's a National UFO Day. Actually.
I know. How will you be celebrating?
We're talking to a UFO expert tonight, actually, about it all.
By the way, if you are up late tonight or still out tonight, Kevin and Kevin Richter and Michael Heidemann are going to be working on this very radio station from 2 to 5 a.m.?
2 to 5 a.m., shameless plug.
All right, I'll try and call in.
Kevin, do you ever sleep?
No.
You know, we have to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue talking to Kurt Wagner. And baseball fans might stick around because there's a baseball show that's coming up.
Yeah.
Baseball inspired.
Yes.
All right. It's Kurt Wagner. TVshowpatrol.com is his website. We are talking TV. It's Dane Neal. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Dane Neal sitting in for Bill Leff. And we're talking to Kurt Wagner like we do each and every Friday from TVshowpatrol.com. And baseball seems to get into our blood. But there's a new series that's coming out involving real baseball announcers.
Yes. I was just in Atlanta earlier this week. IFC has two new comedies coming. One is called Brockmeyer, stars Hank Azaria as Jim Brockmeyer, who is a old school baseball announcer, you know, the type of guy who says anything and then might have to apologize later saying it, you know. He has some kind of really public meltdown when he's broadcasting the major leagues. And so he sort of goes away for a while, and the show picks up when he comes back to cover minor league games, like a minor league team somewhere. And but he's still sort of the brash, and you know, and he doesn't want to be in this small minor league place, so he just says, he still says anything he wants.
Now he doesn't care, it
yeah,
seems.
Yeah, now he doesn't care. But the interesting thing about it is he will, his contemporaries will be current baseball announcers. So when we were down there, we saw a list of, we saw a bunch of, we talked to a bunch of real baseball announcers, and now I'm not going to think of their names. Do you have it listed there? Jim Kerkorian.
I don't know any of these people. Jonah Carey.
Yeah, you got Brian Kenny and Joe Buck.
Joe Buck, yeah. Joe Buck, okay. In fact, plays a big part in it because he and Joe Buck are sort of nemeses.
Everybody is with Joe Buck. I think.
And so I think it's going to be fun, and I don't think that one starts till January, so we have a while to wait for it. But Hank Azaria, I asked him if he's perfected his sports announcer voice, and he said, yeah, like when I was 15 years old, because he was a Mets fan, and he used to know all the great Mets announcers and other announcers. And apparently this character's been with him for that long. Like he's
really?
Had this character. It's a spinoff of a Funny or Die thing he did as nice. Brockmire also. And they tried to make it into a movie, and it had all the funding. They were getting ready to film it, and then their funding fell through like 2 days before they were going to start shooting a couple years ago. So finally it's coming to IFC. So it looks fun. We got to watch a little scene where all of the announcers were at a convention in Chicago.
And so
they're all sitting.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. I don't think so. They're all sitting at a bar talking, and it's
over each other.
Over each other, interrupting each other, just making fun of each other, you know. And there was a lot of jokes that I can't really say on the radio.
Okay.
But you know, it was fun. It was funny stuff.
That
yeah.
sounds really good. And we're almost out of time here. Tell us about Stand Against Evil, because
well,
this sounds really good.
That was the other show that we went on the set of in Atlanta. And that one starts John C. McGinley, who was the really mean doctor in Scrubs, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
He's done tons and tons of stuff. And Janet Varney, who is a funny comedian. And he's a former sheriff of the small New England town, and she's the current sheriff. And they discover that the town is...
No.
There's a lot of demonic possessions of barnyard animals happening.
Oh, my God, I'm in.
In the town. And if you go to the site, my site, I have a little story that I wrote. Dana Gould, who's a comedian and was a writer on The Simpsons and Parks and Rec, created the show. And he talked about how he's always been a fan of horror movies and always been a fan of comedy. And so he wanted to make a comedy horror show or a horror comedy show. And he talked about how this is going to have real scares, like the cores sort of first.
So actual scary ducklings.
Things,
okay.
Yeah. Well, and we met a pig, a demonic pig.
Okay.
And then
did you meet him out back in the trailer smoking?
And then there's comedy too.
Is this a cartoon?
No, it's not a cartoon. In fact, the guy, Greg Nicotero, who does the makeup for
Walking Dead,
your beloved Walking Dead, his team created the pig. And the pig, I shot a little video of the pig doing its thing, you know, its growl
so it's
thing.
Moving around.
It's like a robotic pig.
Oh, jeez.
And its eyes turn red, and it's got these really gnashy teeth and everything.
I don't know why this sounds intriguing.
It's going to be fun. And so when we were watching it, they had a piglet, like a little cute little four-week-old piglet run through. She had to be in this scene. And the one piglet would not stop squealing, so they had to get another piglet to take its place.
Cut.
And then that piglet is supposed to then turn into this big demonic robotic pig, that like satanic pig, and they named it Murgatroyd. So then that's when they showed us Murgatroyd.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. 30 seconds. Is there anything we need to know about for this weekend in the world of TV or elsewhere?
This coming week, I believe, Mr. Robot returns for its second season, which was a big giant hit last year for USA about the hacker.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So you can try to watch all of first season if you want.
Someone just texted, I'm on season 4, episode 10 of Orange is the New Black. Only one episode showed boobies briefly. So, Kurt, how do people find you and your the demonic pig? How do they see that?
The demonic pig story is up on TVShowPatrol.com. I tweeted a bunch of pictures and little video from the set visit. So if you want to go to Show Patrol on Twitter, you know, you can see some of that stuff. And I have a Facebook page, TV Show Patrol Facebook page.
And is Kitten Summer Games gymnastic teams up on your...
No, those aren't there yet. That comes in August. I just sent that to you because I thought you would enjoy seeing...
The little kittens.
The cute kittens.
Doing the summer games. They do gymnastics.
Yeah, it's the first year. They usually have a kitten Super Bowl around the Super Bowl time. But this is the first year they're doing because of the Olympics.
And Kurt, just to confirm, these are not demonic kittens doing
gymnastics.
No,
these are normal, cute little sweet kittens.
They could
who
be.
Are very athletic, apparently.
So nice to talk to you. Thank you very much. Yeah. You can go to TVShowPatrol.com. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere else.
Happy 4th.
Right back at you. Thank you so much. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Dane Neal at 720 WGN.